Well, I know what we're all probably thinking about, so I've been doing some thinking today. I think God puts it on my heart to share with you. We've had so many people that's passed on lately. Of course, Ruth Ann and Roy, Bill Moore, and then, of course, Brother Claude, and then I found out that Joe Hildreth died today. And then Leroy Franklin from out in Kyville passed away. His funeral will be Friday. And Timothy and I had a real scare. Nathan and I did too. We always meet on Tuesday at Brother Bobby Poe's house for a prayer meeting at 6:30. So the light's always on. He'd always never got a pot of coffee. So we have a good time of fellowship and prayer. This time we go over and knock on the door, and the light's not on to start with, and there's no answer. My heart just sank. So we've been on the door a couple of times. So then we came home and told Timothy about it. So Timothy, I think he actually rang the doorbell and didn't get an answer. So he called Kevin, and Kevin got a hold of Walter, and Walter went over, and thank God he just forgot to set the alarm clock. But let you know that we're all going to be passing out here one of these days. We need to really be loving each other. So I want to talk to you a little bit about some eternal matters. And so just kind of, if you want to take notes, you can, or just listen. But I was rememorizing over in 1 Peter today, and it's amazing how we can pass by great verses. So there's some amazing truth in the Bible, and but over in 1 Peter chapter 5, it's so easy to pass a verse, just kind of let it go through your mind. But anyway, this phrase got on my heart. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, this one phrase really got a hold of me. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But the one that got me, think about that. You think about this. We can just read that verse just like that. The God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory. You really believe that? Think about that. He's called us to his eternal glory. We're going to actually enjoy his eternal glory one of these days. So let's look at just a few verses of Scripture. What kind of effect should it have on us? I want to talk about being heavenly minded, I guess, tonight. I did that not too long ago, but it's still on my heart. So let's go over to 1 John. I'm going to go to three of the scriptures. We ought to have a heavenly mindset. Most people don't, of course. Even some Christians don't, like they should. And the world certainly doesn't have a heavenly mindset. They got all kind of hopes. You can imagine people who have not only millions, but billions of dollars can do almost anything they want to. But they're living in a fool's world already. And anybody who's not living for God living in a fool's world. It's an illusory world that's got a very short duration, very short duration. I could tell song that you call, Kiefer, your mind, and mine's working the same way tonight, that God wants us to realize how short life is, how uncertain from our viewpoint. So let's go to 1 John. I'm going to go to several scriptures. 1 John, first of all, this is an optimistic message. It ought to be optimistic. It's a true message. I'm not just trying to come up with any hyperbole. I'm just reading the Bible to you. And this is reality. So we don't see him yet. So I love what he said in 1 Peter 1:8, which don't worry about that verse, but I love it. Whom having not seen, I've never seen Jesus Christ, not in the person, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And by the way, 1 Peter is a book that's a context of persecution. They're scattered strangers. So they're suffering. Maybe like some people in the Middle East are right now. But he says, again, to quote the verse, see, we have a faculty called faith. It's an amazing thing. It's an eye. That Moses had, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that's the real world. That's the real world. This is a real world in a way, but that's the real, real world. And so most people don't want to think about that, but I wanted to point your mind to it. So let me quote that verse again. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll go over in 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read the first three verses because this heavenly mindset does have a definite effect on our lives. It frees us up, really. It frees us up from all the care of this world. And it gives us a freedom to serve him with abandon. You see, Paul served God with abandon, didn't he? He took all kind of risk. He was on a shipwreck. He had all kind of troubles. People were after him to kill him all the time. But he served God with abandon. Now, sometimes we have these shackles on us of doubt and fear and worry and all that. He kind of chained us down, but God doesn't want that to be that way. He wants us to have freedom to serve him with abandon. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. That's an amazing verse right there. John wants to call our attention to that. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not, and the world does not know us either. They don't know Christians. They don't know us at all. They totally misunderstand us. They malign us. It's always that way. It's getting worse in our country and manifest that way all the time, more manifest. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now, by adoption. Now the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. That's amazing, isn't it? We're going to have the capacity to enjoy Jesus Christ face to face. We don't have the capacity right now. We couldn't stand the glory in our mortal state. But in that state, we'll be able to fully enjoy his glory. So, beloved, now we're the sons of God. Does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, and he is going to appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. If you think you've seen Jesus Christ, you're going to really see him then like he already is. That's going to be amazing. We see him some now, but not like then. Only dimly now I see him with a darkened veil between. But a blessed day is coming when glory shall be seen. What effect should it have on our life? Well, verse 3 tells us, and every man hath his hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How about that? If we really believe on him, it's going to affect the way we live. We're going to want to live for him. It's an antidote against sin, a heavenly mind, and an antidote against a sinful life. And every man that hath this hope in him, so I want a brighter hope, purifieth himself even as he is pure. All right? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I think I'll read the whole chapter probably, because it's talking about the second coming, about the God coming in judgment. And it also tells how we ought to be looking for that, and also what kind of effect that should have on our life. So let's just read the whole third chapter of 2 Peter, the short chapter, a great chapter. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come the last day scoffers walking at their own lusts, they're walking at their own desires. And saying, and that's what they're saying today, as you know, and have always, but really saying today, where's the promise of his coming? Ha, ha, ha. You Christian, look at that second coming. Where's the promise of his coming? For this, the Father fell asleep. All things continue, and they were from the beginning of the creation. The creation, in the creation debate, they call it uniformitarianism. Uniformitarianism means the world's always been like it is now. There's no evidence of a flood. There's been no big change. That's what they call uniformitarianism. But it's a false doctrine. So he says this again. Knowing this first, that there should come the last day scoffers. So obviously they're not going to be affected by the second coming because they're scoffing. And they're walking at their own lust too. That's really what the deal is. That's why they're trying to get rid of God. They want to walk on their own lust. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Of course, they're sneering as they say this. This is... For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, willingly are ignorant. Now I want to make that a point. Joe Taylor, you know, is an archaeologist, and he tells me, and I've heard him talk about this a lot, there's real plain evidence of the flood all over the world. He started talking about continents and deposits of fossils, fish and stuff. He said there's unmistakable evidence all over the world that there's a worldwide flood. And I believe that. Of course, I take any word for it, but I believe it anyway. Because he says here, the Bible says, they're willingly ignorant of this. This they willingly are ignorant of this, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing in the water and out of the water. That's talking about the creation of the world over in Genesis. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. Think about that. Reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment, prediction of ungodly men. There's going to be a terrible day one of these days when this whole universe is going to burn up. I talked to some people this week. I forgot who it was now, but we're talking about that fire up in Gatlinburg. And talking about how hot it was. It even melted aluminum off of, they had some wheels, had aluminum on them, melted aluminum off. I talked to you know, Bob Sweeney. He lost his whole gun collection. He also lost his silver collection. How are you going to lose silver? And this guy said, easy, that stuff just melts down. It's just, everything's just gone. So that even everything's going to burn up one of these days. But the heavens and the earth, verse 7 again, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. God got a time, he's coming. He got a time, he's coming. He's going to destroy his enemies, the brightness of his coming, according to 2 Thessalonians. Revelation said they'll be hiding in the rocks and caves, saying, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, see, but we might, Lord, when are you coming? Lord, the world getting so bad. And God, people always felt that way. How long will this go on? So God, he's explaining this. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day, if the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward. To get the usward, that's the elect. Over John, in this chapter 1, verse 2, talks about the elect. He's long-suffering to his people. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Well, they won't perish. None of the elect's going to perish. All should come to repentance. So what God's waiting for, the last elect to be born in this world, to be born again, he's coming again. We don't know what time it'll be, do we? That's what God's waiting for. So, Lord, why are you waiting so long? Well, I've got some more people got to get born again, then I'm coming. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Nobody will be expecting it, really. And in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's probably an understatement, isn't it? When you make that kind of understatement, pretty big noise. Nuclear weapons won't even be. That's just like little matches compared with what's going to happen if the second coming of Christ and this world is destroyed. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's Gibraltar, isn't it? That's Wall Street. That's the stock exchange. That's all the technology of Silicon Valley. How about that? People think that it's banks. All right. What effect should I have on you and me? Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting. Don't you like the King James? I love that hasting. I like that hasting. I just like the way the King James man said that. We're wanting it to happen. Looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, and that promise is in Isaiah 65 and 66, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens, a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's going to be a glorious environment, isn't it? Look at Romans 8, if you have time, 19 through 24. We're going to have an amazing environment, a glorified heaven and earth for our glorified bodies to be there. Unbelievable, unbelievable. If you think the world is pretty now, and it is, it's still a cursed earth. And what will it, and if the earth is magnificently beautiful for the curse, it's going to be even better than that on this new heaven and new earth. So we're looking for that. Nevertheless, we're according to the promise. Look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All right, what should affect you to have on us then? Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We're going to walk as close to God as we can. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. He's long-suffering. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and that means twist, as they do also the other scriptures to their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Great scripture. All right. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. I won't read the whole chapter. You know, that's the resurrection chapter, as you well know. It's the resurrection chapter. People use it at funerals and gravesides. But that's not the only place that ought to be used, but that's a good place to use it. It's an amazing chapter. That's the one when Paul said, if in this life only we have hope of eternal life, we have all been most miserable. So I'm going to read the last part, okay? Well, let's see, where should I start? I believe I'll start. I believe I'll start maybe. I guess I'll start in verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance be wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial or heavenly bodies and bodies terrestrial, which are earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. The reason they didn't want Brother Claude to catch it was they didn't embalm him. So he already began to deteriorate. My baby that we buried 1991, we didn't embalm her. And I stayed with her all night here in this church. You can even see signs of corruption around her mouth. So what's going to happen to all of us? It's raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. Brother Claude got weak, didn't he, before he died? Big, strong Brother Claude. It's raised in power. It's sown in natural body, but it is raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, made a living soul, the last Adam, made a quickening spirit. That's Jesus Christ, of course. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You get this. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Can't imagine how that will be. Just beautiful. Amazing. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither the corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There'll be one generation that'll be alive when Jesus comes again. They won't even have to go to sleep in death, what we call death. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, pretty fast, isn't it? At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. Think about that. The trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That means it never comes to an end, doesn't it? So this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's when it will really be manifest. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that last verse tells the effect it ought to have on us. That's the truth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The devil tells us that sometimes, doesn't he? But it's not. When you're trying to serve God in your simple way, not making a big splash in the world, trying to be honest before God Almighty, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's wonderful. Let me read that verse to you again. Because of the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right. Let's go to Colossians 3. I know you all know this is one of my favorites. I'll just read four verses because it's just the same thing over and over again. These different Bible writers, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they're saying the same thing. If you then be risen with Christ, and I believe I am, I believe you are, I believe when Christ raised in a positional way, I was raised with him, as he was my representative. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek, that's a strong word, isn't it? Seek those things which are above. Or have you done it today? Let me ask you that question. If not, do it tomorrow and do it tonight. Seek those things which are above. How do you do it? Through the Bible. That's the only way you can do it. That's the only way you know what's going on, through the Scriptures. So meditate on the Scriptures. Read them, meditate on them. Think about them. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We all think about him on the right hand of God. Just like writing in Brother Claude's funeral, mentioned the scripture Brother Claude loved was Daniel 4:35. He does his will, even in this county where we live in, among the inhabitants of he does his will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Said to him, what doest thou? I get kind of shook up sometimes reading about worldly events, but I shouldn't. He's controlling that. And I ought to be concerned, I ought to pray. But Christ is on the right hand of God. And Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he preached, this fact that the Holy Spirit's come down today is proof that Jesus Christ is the right hand of God sending forth this Spirit. Set your affection. How about that? Set. One more time. Set. Effort. Time. Priorities. Right? Set your affection on things above. Not on things on the earth. If you're dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, as your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What effect should I have on my life? Verse 4. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication and this sex-saturated culture. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Live a godly life because of the prospect that Jesus is on the throne. I'm going to be like him one of these days. Isn't that great? All right, just one or two more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Christians have hard lives. Every sinner had a hard life, some more than others, but we do have challenges sometimes. Don't tell what we'll face before we die. So I'll go to 2 Corinthians 4 and read a little bit. And I think I'll just start with verse 8. I won't read it down probably the whole way, but I might. It's good enough to do it. But anyway, this is the truth. And we don't minimize the problem that God's people have. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said, we're troubled on every side. Every side. Yet not distressed. That means we're not just totally crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're questioning. We don't know what's going on sometimes. We're not going to despair. Say, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I'm not going to give up. I know you're on the throne. Persecuted, and some people are, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And I think I'm going to skip a little bit. It's all good, but I want to go down to verse 16. Verse that's almost parenthetical. For which cause we faint not. We might be tempted to faint sometimes under a great big trial, sometimes physical trial. Some of y'all are in perpetual pain. I know that. And I'm thinking about how the devil grinds you down, doesn't he? He grinds us down. You got to always remember that. The devil grinds people down. We can almost all, by God's grace, withstand a short trial, even a severe trial and temptation. But when it goes on and on for a long time, that's what we need to really be careful and ask God to give us strength, isn't it? Because he can grind us down. That's what he wants to do. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. And it is being renewed. Even Sister Ruth Ann, body getting eaten up with cancer, her inward man was being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and unless we know the scripture very well, it's looking from God's viewpoint, not our viewpoint. For us, it's very heavy sometimes. From his viewpoint, it's not. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But look at how we do that. How do we do it? Well, verse 18 tells us. While we look not at the things which are seen. Don't look at the things which are seen. Circumstances. But the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. Blood clot doesn't have a bad back anymore. Blue head doesn't have cancer anymore. Right? So, what I want to do is give you one exhortation and one prayer. These are both in Psalms. I want to give an exhortation that Psalm Kiefer chose really was all about this, I think. It's Psalm 90 and verse 12. Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We've got short life. We don't know when God's going to call us. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to live wise lives, live for Jesus Christ. Then I got a prayer for you. I don't know how you feel right now. I hope when I die I'm strong spiritually. I really want to be strong spiritually. I don't know how I'll be, but I want to be. Since I know when I'm going to die, it behooves me to try to stay strong spiritually all the time. But I love this prayer that David gave us in Psalm 39, the last verse. Psalm 39, verse 13. Psalm 39, 13. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. That's a good prayer. God, let me die strong. So we ought to try to be strong. And I'd say we ought to love each other too. That's like with Brother Bobby. Who knows today? I may come over and he may not be. He may not wake up. And that could happen to any of us. So let's love each other, love the Lord. But don't live in pessimism, live in great optimism. We're supposed to be optimistic. Paul was. He had a harder life than any of us ever had. But he's optimistic because he knew where he was going. We do too.